They burnt their last witch in Connecticut about a century and a half ago. They made a schoolhouse of her forfeit hut and gave a pitying sweetbriar leave to grow above her thankless ashes. And they put a certified description of the show between two weeping willows craped with black on the last page of that year's almanac. Some warning and well-meant remarks were made upon the subject by the weekly printers. The people murmured at the taxes laid to pay for jurymen and pitch pine splinters. And the sad story made the rose leaf fade upon young listeners' cheeks for several winters, when told at fireside eaves by those who saw executed the lady and the law. She and the law found rest. Years rose and set. That generation, cottagers and kings, slept with their fathers, and the violet has mourned above their graves 100 springs. Few persons keep a file of the Gazette, and almanacs are sublunary things. So that her fame is almost lost to earth, as if she ne'er had breathed, and of her birth and death, and lonely life's mysterious matters, and how she played in our forefathers' times the very devil with their sons and daughters, and how those delicate Ariels of her crimes, the spirits of the rocks and woods and waters, obeyed her bidding when in charmed rhymes she muttered at deep midnight spells whose power woke from brief dream of dew the sleeping summer flower, and hushed the night bird's solitary hymn, and spoke in whispers to the forest tree, till his awed branches trembled leaf and limb, and grouped her churchyard shapes of fantasy round merry moonlight's meadow fountain's brim, and mocking for a space the dread decree, brought back to dead, cold lips the parted breath, and changed to banquet board the beer of death. None knew, except a patient, precious few who've read the folios of one Cotton Mather, a chronicler of tales more strange than true, New England's chaplain and her history's father, a second Monmouth's Geoffrey, a new Herodotus, their laureled victor, rather. For in one art he soars above them high, the Greek or Welshman does not always lie. Know ye the venerable Cotton? He was the first publisher's tourist on this station, the first who made by libeling earth and sea a huge book and a handsome speculation. And ours was then a land of mystery, fit theme for poetry's exaggeration, the wildest wonder of the month, and there he wandered freely like a bird or bear, and wove his forest dreams into quaint prose, our sires his heroes, where in holy strife they treacherously war with friends and foes, where meek religion wears the assassin's knife and bids the desert blossom like the rose by sprinkling earth with blood of Indian life, and rears her altars o'er the indignant bones of murdered maidens, wives, and little ones.